Current Affairs.
This is Akashvani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on India's export surge. The participants are Shubhamoy Bhattacharjee and Sishir Sinha, economic analysts. The moderator is Arjun J. Chaudhary, anchor.
On this program today, we're joined by two notable experts, Sishir Sinha and Shubhamoy Bhattacharya, to give us an in-depth understanding of the first quarter import-export figures for the period April to June 2025. A warm welcome to both our experts on this program.
Thank you. Glad to be here, Arjun.
Well, if you look at our figures right now, merchandise and services exports have grown by almost 6% to the tune of $210.31 billion. There are sectors which have done particularly well, and traditional sectors which have done well in exports have actually gone down in terms of their figures. And before we dive into the discussion, let's listen to this report by our news desk.
India's export performance saw a notable upswing in the first quarter of the current financial year. From April to June 2025, the country's total exports, comprising both merchandise and services, are estimated at $210.31 billion, which was $198.52 billion in the corresponding period of last year. This is a year-on-year increase of 5.94%. According to data released by the Ministry of Commerce and Industry this week, merchandise exports for April to June 2025 period stood at $112.17 billion, showing a modest growth of 1.92% over $110.06 billion recorded during the same months in 2024. A key highlight is the performance of non-petroleum exports, which rose by 5.97%, totaling $94.77 billion compared to $89.42 billion in April to June 2024 period. For the month of June 2025, total exports were reported at $67.98 billion, while imports amounted to $71.5 billion. This resulted in a trade deficit of $3.51 billion, a significant reduction compared to the $7.30 billion deficit recorded in June 2024. The ministry highlighted that the growth in merchandise exports during June was driven by strong performances in key sectors such as electronic goods, pharmaceuticals, engineering products, marine exports, and meat, dairy, and poultry products. Notably, electronic goods exports jumped 46.93%, rising from $2.82 billion in June 2024 to $4.15 billion in June 2025. Pharmaceutical exports also increased by 5.95%, reaching $2.62 billion, while engineering goods saw a 1.35% uptick. Marine product exports posted a solid 13.33% year-on-year growth in June. These figures suggest a strengthening of India's export base, with several high-value sectors contributing to overall resilience despite global uncertainties. Lalema Aneja Dang, News Desk.
Shishir, let's begin with you. Sectors which have done well include electronics, organic and inorganic chemicals, drug and pharmaceuticals, engineering goods, and ready-made garments, and especially electronic goods. If you look at the April to the June quarter, the first quarter that we're talking about, 40% hike in the month of April, 54% in the month of May, and 47% in the month of June. Why is that the case?
See, when we talk about the trade data, monthly data is much more important than the quarterly data. And of course, the quarterly data numbers are very good. But to establish a trend is very important. And in the month of June, the provisional figures which have been released just a few days back, that shows that some of the items are seeing good growth. Like you mentioned about the electronic goods. Then there is a marine products also, which have seen very good growth in the month of June. Then the pharmaceutical industry, which has seen very good growth. But please remember, you are talking about the quarterly number. I'm giving you the monthly number. On a quarterly basis, of course, the textile industry has done well. On the quarterly basis, some of the engineering goods have also done very well. But in the month of June, which is important, especially considering the global situation, the geopolitical situation, where we are seeing that the electronic items as well as that pharmaceutical industry and the marine, they have done well. But the textile industry in the month of June has slightly slowed down, number one. Number two, we also have to see that what kind of situation we have observed in terms of import also. Because in India, we all know that the trade is always in a deficit. We are not a trade surplus country. So we also have to consider what we call as the trade, that's the import thing also. And when we talk about the import, we also have to see what we have imported. In the month of June, what we observed that the gold and crude oil, especially the gold one, we saw a decline. That is something very interesting because normally India is always considered as one of the largest consumer of gold. And we are seeing some kind of decline in the gold import. That is one thing. The second thing where we have seen is the coal import, which has gone down in the month of June. So overall, in the month of June, and if we talk about the quarter per se, that's April to June, there is a mixed trend. Some sectors which are, if we take the 3 months figure, some sectors will show a very good rise. If we take the monthly numbers, some sectors are showing some kind of decline. Overall, the situation is that the trade deficit has come down, and that is the most important point. And when we say why export is declining, why export is not seeing the kind of growth which we were expecting, of course, some sectors have seen the growth, but overall, I'm talking about because of the geopolitical situation, especially if you see the conditions in Europe, the situation is not very good. The economies are not doing well, and that is why we are seeing some kind of decline in the overall export. But net-net, the important thing for us is that the trade deficit is down, and that is going to have some kind of positive impact.
Shubhamoy, I will now talk about electronic goods specifically, because if you compare this particular industry with all the other industries on our trade figures list, it has done exceptionally well. For the benefit of our listeners on Akashvani, why has that been the case? Is this something to do with our quality control in manufacturing, the capacity that's gone up? Are we able to beat the competition in the export market? What is it that we're doing right in this background of geopolitics and what's happening with the tariffs policy in the US that is making our electronic goods so competitive?
Well, I'm going to put it simply, we have fallen in love with apples. And be in love with, as long as we keep on having our apples, that's fine. I refer to the exporter from the apple production facilities that's happened in India, and that have taken off in a remarkable way, which is why it's very necessary that we don't compare it with the oranges, which is the rest of our exports, which have a different story, as quite a bit of it Shishir was talking about. So essentially, the boost in our electronic exports is largely from the export of mobile and mobile parts, which Apple is doing. And now outside China, India is becoming, we're still a long way off, but it's still becoming a very large production center. And it's almost growing up to something like 25 to 30 million pieces a year. That's a huge number. We are talking about the Apple global production, which is about 240. So we're still a long way off, but still these are very impressive numbers. And that's what is reflecting in our exports in the electronic sector, which means that that's something to be very, happy about. I wouldn't say the worry line, but the point is that this export boost, which Apple has created, is something that we should now be looking at to happen from other producers. Because the entire ecosystem, the globally, and if you look at most value-added products in the world, are essentially electronic goods. Whether you look at the gaming industry, whether you look at the AI industry, whether you look at any other sector, production of electronics and electronic-related items are the big differentiator. And this is where India will have to be considerably, be agile, be smart, be able to push for a lot of incentives, for a lot of effort to ensure that this sector really takes off. Remember, Apple wasn't a story in India till about a couple of years ago. And within 2 years, look at the change that it has made. So you can see the scale at which its presence makes to a country's overall export numbers. April to June was a period when, as which Shishi was pointing out, that we don't really look at quarterly numbers as much as the monthly numbers because those show the fluctuations more. April to June was a period which was basically a lot of the Trump tantrums. And in that period, we expected the exports to actually be hit badly. It hasn't. The fact that the quarterly numbers are actually looking better than what was expected. You started off by saying that the quarterly numbers were actually, I mean, if we were looking at the trade deficit was expected to go up to something like 22. That was something that we were really looking, we are scared about.
Let's now hear what Prime Minister Narendra Modi had to say about the broader outlook of the country's economy in one of his past speeches.
ये वो समय है जब हमारी ग्रोथ रेट लगातार बढ़ रही है और हमारा फिस्कल डेफिसिट घट रहा है। ये वो समय है जब हमारा एक्सपोर्ट बढ़ रहा है और करंट अकाउंट डेफिसिट कम होती जा रही है। ये वो समय है जब हमारा प्रोडक्टिव इन्वेस्टमेंट रिकॉर्ड ऊंचाई पर है और महंगाई नियंत्रण में है। ये वो समय है जब अपॉर्चुनिटीज और इनकम दोनों बढ़ रही है और गरीबी कम हो रही है। ये वो समय है जब कंजम्पशन और कॉरपोरेट प्रॉफिटेबिलिटी दोनों बढ़ रहे हैं और बैंक एनपीए में रिकॉर्ड कमी आई है।
Shubhamoy, our first quarter trade figures deal with net exports. And net exports means that we are exporting and importing across countries in this global environment. Tell us about gold, because the imports have also come down. It has been $1.8 billion worth of imports for the month of June, whereas in the month of May, it was $2.5 billion. Does the troy ounce price of gold internationally, which is about $3,400 US, and the price of silver also going up now about $37, I believe, it's also a very important factor when it comes to the gems and jewelry market, which has seen a hit in this particular quarter.
Within the gems and jewelry, I would separate the gold. You know, the gold import into India has its own cyclical, seasonal fluctuation, and that frankly goes year by year. Gold importers know that they are catering to a market which tends to be very inelastic. And rather, I would say actually Indian gold imports would rise, because once the per capita income of India, now the way it's rising, you find much more long new families coming into the gold market. So the gold market in India is, I mean, the change in June, you can be quite sure that by July or August, when it comes closer to the festival season, you'd see a sharp bump in the import of gold. And essentially, the gold importers, they know pretty well, I mean, how the global market is looking, because India actually determines a large part of the price changes there because of its huge demand. As a result of that, you would find that while they have been soft on the pedal on gold in June, they'll push as soon as they see a softening of price in July, which actually it has happened to some extent, you'd find the gold price, the gold imports rocketing up. The interesting thing about largely on the trade factor is, isolating, as I say, the gold market, is that India still is not a very major part of this world global supply chain. And this is something which experts within the government, the Prime Minister's Economic Advisory Council, and so many others have pointed out as a major defect or a major weakness of the Indian manufacturing ecosystem. One of the things that I hope, and in fact I read his papers very carefully, is that this integration into the global supply chain is something that I am fairly confident and hopeful that this is going to happen very soon. Because now exporters would feel, manufacturers would realize that there's no go but to integrate their production lines in as per the demands of the global supply chain. It was something which Indian manufacturers in large numbers were, you know, blocking against. Protections, you know, trying to have their entire supply chain within India, just the remaining part to be exported outside. That protection is now gradually going off. And once that goes off, the two things that happen solidly, and for our Akashvani listeners, that's a very important thing, that they can actually get a low inflation from abroad into their prices of the goods that they buy into India, in the country, which is something that people need. Our low-income, middle-income people, our low-income groups, they need products which are competitive globally and available at prices which are competitive, which is great news for India. And it actually will be very good, because what will happen is that the domestic industry, the government would be very happy to do this, that the domestic industry will find that they will have to be competitive. Something which they have been, I must use the word, avoiding for very long, that not to heed to what the government has been saying, that expand the scale of production. Commerce Minister Mr. Piyush Goyal has often said that Indian industry needs to expand into sectors where there's demand, where there is a need for new technology and those sort of things, I suspect, will now be coming into India forcefully with the changes in the tariff structure that we are seeing. So I would think that the government is actually producing a very good, what I should call, ecosystem for the domestic consumers, which was needed.
And if I just add what Shubhmoy is saying, one is about the gold. I mean, we all know that gold and silver are price inelastic. I mean, in India, we buy gold, whatsoever price it is. So if there was a degrowth in the month of June, it was mainly because June is not a marriage season or not a festival season. Just wait for 3 months. Even if the prices are, say, 3400 or 3500 or silver prices are in Indian rupees crossing 1 lakh rupee, we will still have a very large import in the month of September as well as in the October. And then also in the month of November, because December, 14th December till 14th December, there is a good marriage season. So gold and silver, I believe the import will go up irrespective of what kind of tariff arrangement we are going to have on these issues.
Very interesting point you make there. But when you talk about exports, and Shubham mentioned that what's the policy of the government to promote exports? Let's hear what Prime Minister Narendra Modi had to say about encouraging the role of MSMEs when it comes to the export market.
कहने के तो आप लोग सूक्ष्म लघु और मध्यम उद्यमी हैं, लेकिन 21वीं सदी का भारत जिस ऊंचाई को प्राप्त करेगा उसमें आप सभी की भूमिका बहुत अहम है। भारत का एक्सपोर्ट लगातार बढ़े, भारत के प्रोडक्ट्स नए बाजारों में पहुंचे, इसके लिए देश के एमएसएमई सेक्टर का सशक्त होना बहुत जरूरी है। हमारी सरकार आपके इसी सामर्थ्य, इस सेक्टर की असीम संभावनाओं को ध्यान में रखते हुए निर्णय ले रही है, नई नीतियां बना रही है।
So, Shishi, just coming back to you once again, since we have discussed about our trade deficit, which is at an all-time low right now, principally because our exports have not necessarily gone up, but our imports have come down, specifically when we talk about crude oil imports and gold. Let's now get into, away from goods and now into services, because we are in the surplus when it comes to services. Our services exports is $32.84 billion for this quarter, April to June. And then our services imports is $17.58 billion. So we're clearly in services surplus as opposed to goods imports and exports, where we are in deficit. Now, what's the reason behind our services surplus? What is it that we do that makes us advantageous when it comes to services?
Cost. The most important thing is the cost. I mean, if you talk about, let's say, with the Southeast Asian economies or with the economies like Indonesia or Philippines, which are considered as a very good competitor to our services export. But there we are finding that there are some issues in terms of the cost, where they may be having advantage initially, but now they are facing a problem because they do not have the kind of scale which they need, especially for the economies like EU or economy like US. So in terms of the what we call as the quality of that IT and ITES, earlier they were having some advantage because of the lower cost and because the labor cost was slightly at the lower side. But now the quality and the quantity in both, we are having some good thing. But there is still some worry. The demand from Europe is coming down, which is not a good thing for our services export. And there we have to think about how to make, cost more and more cost competitiveness, so that even when these economies are facing some kind of recessionary trend in their economy, they continue to export the IT and ITES service from India. And there, the cost competitiveness is very, very important. Like Shubhmoy was talking about, that government is trying to create an ecosystem where there will be more and more focus on boosting the competitiveness. And that will help you to go into global supply chain in a bigger way. Because you please remember that China is having a good cost competitiveness because of the two reasons. One, that the economy of scale is very high. And number two, they are in any time, any given point of time, they can devalue their currency. India is not in that kind of league where we can go and devalue our currency anytime when we think of. China can do that. And that is giving some kind of advantage. So what is for us? The only thing we have to us that we have to provide good or service at a cheaper price.
Shubhamoy, clearly we have to be cost-benefit to any nation that is seeking to import either services or goods. And that's really the key. One of the keys really to an advantageous trade with any nation for that matter. Let's now look at the economics of it, because whenever you're computing gross domestic product for the quarter, if it's semi-annual or annual, net exports plays a very important role in that. And if you look at the current account deficit, because our trade deficit this time has been lower than what's been the estimate, it's about $18 billion. It's been 0.7% of GDP in the first quarter of 2026 based on the current numbers, and it's been 0.9% in the first quarter of financial year 2025 according to ICRA Ratings Agency. These numbers that we've got right now, our trade deficit is giving us a current account deficit of 0.9%, less than 1%, and it's likely to go down further. How important is that when it comes to computing gross domestic product?
Remember, the current account deficit being low is beneficial and also harmful. The reason why it's harmful is our current account deficit also measures the amount of net investment that we can pull in from abroad. So when the current account deficit stays very low, that means the economy is essentially slowing. It's not able to draw in investment, net investment from abroad. So there is that particular aspect which always needs to be taken in, because we can't go into the math here, but the point is that the current account deficit, how is it financed? It's basically financed by the net investment coming in from abroad. So essentially, therefore, we get into a good situation with current account deficit being low, inflation being low. You would also notice that the GDP and the gross value added, and for a minute, our Akashvani listeners will pardon us for getting into this technical terms, but it, what basically means is that there is the Indian economy is now running at its real productive capacity without any additional, you know, froth coming in from anywhere. So to put it simply, the difference between GDP and GVA is the net taxes.
And also, Shubhma, if we add, just sorry for disturbing you, GDP denotes the demand and GVA denotes the supply.
Absolutely. So if the net taxes are not very high, which would typically happen if the production is actually low and current account deficit comes down low, then essentially what you mean is that the rate of growth of the GDP doesn't really take off substantially. And with inflation being low, which is very good work that Reserve Bank is doing, that you then you'd get even the nominal GDP is also not high. So what does the government do in that circumstance? Well, the government is basically therefore saying that we need to add investment big time into the economy. The government capital expenditure has been big. It's a time now for the private sector investment to push in. The tariff rationalization that's happening is a great time and a great opportunity for private investors to really realize where the opportunities lie. You just talked about the services exports, the global capacity centers that we have created, the global capability centers that we have created, which are now the world's largest in their numbers in India, is actually giving us the position, the advantage to create a boost for services exports. We are, as Shishir was pointing out, we've got labor at, even skilled labor at a considerably lower cost than even our Asian competitors. We need to replicate that cost advantage in our goods sector. Lower rate of interest, lower production obstacles, ease of doing business, many of the factors which the government is sort of saying and is bringing on is very, very useful now to take advantage. Basically, I mean, we keep on saying once in a lifetime opportunity, but this is a once in a lifetime opportunity when the entire world's trade order is being reset.
Shishir, import substitution industrialization has been a policy of the government when it's been driving manufacturing in India, Atmanirbhar Bharat. But Western growth has been based on supply side economics. How do you see India in this current scenario with what's happening in the US, especially because they're a major trading partner, let's not forget the EU, or for that matter, individual nations that would potentially import a great deal from India?
First of all, we need to understand that India is in a kind of situation, what we call as the Goldilocks situation. So we are neither very hot nor very cold. So it's a very good opportunity for the investors to come and put money there. Coming to the second part, which is the import substitutions and the Atmanirbhar Bharat. One of the misconceptions about import substitution and the Atmanirbhar Bharat is that we are in a position that we can produce everything here. No, we cannot do that. We need some kind of intermediate product. We need some kind of raw material from from abroad. Like pharmaceutical industry, if we talk about that, India has become a pharmaceutical capital of the world. We need API, and API we are not producing in a large quantity. If we need gems and jewelry to grow, we need a good quantity of gold. So this misconception should go away, that import should completely be out, or there should not be import from this country.
Comparative advantage.
No, we need import, but we need import of the intermediary good and the raw material, and we need to export more and more the finished product. Then it's a time for us, because the other economies are not in a good situation. It's a time for us to take advantage of this situation, take advantage of Goldilocks situation, and move forward.
Well, Shubham, I'm glad you brought that up, because for the benefit of our listeners on Akashvani, let's give some backstory on what's happening in the U.S. President Donald J. Trump announced the Liberation Day tariffs, as it's called, 10% baseline tariff, and specifically for India, additional 26% tariff as well, which, of course, he delayed. He gave a 90-day pause. And now you have a list of reciprocal tariffs on 14 nations, again, which is going to be with effect from the 1st of August. India is not on that list. And just to preempt what's going to happen post the tariff imposition, a lot of countries have been importing desperately from their erstwhile partners. So, Shishir, give us an idea not only of what's happening in the US in terms of the policy making by the president concerned, but also geopolitics. You mentioned about that. Our crude oil imports from Russia are being threatened with tariffs, not just by the US, the European Union, by NATO as well. And if you look at the figures right now, our crude oil exports, refined products, have actually come down. That's what we were talking about earlier. Yeah.
In fact, before coming to a specific question, just take some figures. In the month of June, on Y basis, why I'm mentioning this? Because as Shubhay was talking about that, considering the geopolitical situation, we were apprehending too much hit on our export. But numbers are telling us different story if we compare Y basis. For example, non-petroleum export, which was around 30.5 billion in last year, June, it is 29.6 billion this June. If we talk about the non-gems jewelry export, which was last year 28.74 billion, now it is 27.43. Why I'm taking this number? I'm just trying to find out that whether the apprehensions have limited implications or not. And especially in terms of the what we call as the tariff tantrum, which we have seen post-April, when Donald Trump announced about that he is going to impose reciprocal tariff. Now we have time till August 1, or rather I would say July 31st. From now onwards, today is July 18th. So we have 12 days to see that what kind of impact we are going to have. And the indications which Mr. Trump has given that we may have some kind of tariff like Indonesia or slightly below than that. And what we are getting a sense that the tariff will not be the same what the Indonesia or Vietnam is facing. And the indications are it may be slightly lesser. That is a good news for us. That is a very, very positive sign for us. Because if we are talking about the competitiveness of Indian export, and we are facing a lot of competitiveness, especially from the Vietnam in terms of textile industry. If we talk about the services export, we are facing a lot of competition from Indonesia. So if the tariff of these two economies or these two, three economies are slightly on a higher side, that is going to be a very good thing for us. And we need to boost up our export. We need to look for the newer market. But that newer market cannot happen overnight. It takes time. So we also have to think about how to expand our export in the traditional market. And during this tariff tantrum, we think that time is there, and we can expect that we will have better tariff than Indonesia and Vietnam and also some other competitive nation. And that is going to give us some advantage to have better export number during the quarter, which is ongoing between July and September.
I would like to take the time to thank both our experts, esteemed experts, Shishir Sinha and Shubhamay Bhattacharya,
for
being with us on this program. And
thank you.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on India's export surge. The participants were Shubhamoy Bhattacharji and Shishir Sinha, economic analysts. The moderator was Arjun J. Chaudhary, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on a mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on a YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Current Affairs.